Hey, y'all, we're in a series called Joyful. We're going through the book of Philippians, which is really a letter. It's a letter that Paul wrote while he was in prison. And I'm going to read you the next section, and I'm going to give you the main points right up front, because I think I'm not sure we're going to get past the first word whenever I start preaching, okay? So this is hot off the press. I'm trying to listen and speak. Is that cool with y'all? All right, here we go. Philippians chapter 2, we're in verse 12, says this: therefore, my dear friends, oh, before I keep reading, just turn to the person next to you and say, see, I'm a dear friend. You ever had somebody just call you something nice and you just go, wait, can we just pause for a second and just drink that in? He could have called him anything he wanted to, and he said, dear friends. Come on, y'all. Somebody needed to hear that this morning. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, all the parents in the room are like, yes, if I could just get my kids to obey me even when I'm not around, right? That would be awesome. Continue now to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. I feel I should read that one again. Do everything. Do half the things. Do some things. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Here are the three main points. If you're a note taker, I beg you to write these down and so you can go home and study on these. When we have a life that is marked by joy, we'll do three things. Paul tells us to do three things in this passage. He says, I want you to work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. He says, I want you to stand out in the darkness, not blend in with the darkness. We don't get so far. I'll go back to the first one. He wants us to work out our salvation, not work for our salvation. He wants us to stand out in the darkness, not blend in with the darkness. And he wants us to pour out our lives, not hold back our lives. Does that make sense? Now, maybe we'll get to those points and maybe we won't. But this morning in prayer, the Lord brought back to my memory an illustration that we did when we were having church down in the bar. And that's a fun sentence to say. When we were having church in the bar. Some people still have church in bars, right? When we were having church in the bar, I did this really simple illustration. And this morning in prayer, the Lord just, I just saw it again in my mind. I was like, God, what does that have to do with today? Are we supposed to do that again? I'm not prepared for that. You ever do that? You ever feel the Holy Spirit leading you somewhere and you're just like, but I'm not ready for that. I'm not prepared for that. I might mess that up. It might not be good. If I could have another week to think about it. And I just felt like he said, today's the day. Do it. And I was like, why? And he said, because we can't get past the word therefore. Because therefore ties what we've studied last week to what we're going to talk about this week. So what did we talk about last week? Wes read it, right? We talked about how Jesus humbled himself. He could have held on to his nature with God. He was still God, right? Still God. But like we thought, he could have solved all the problems by being God in heaven. But he chose to take on our flesh. I don't know what your flesh is like, but mine is nasty. He took it on, and he became fully man, right? And he stepped into our world, and he went to the cross. He was obedient. And it, because of his obedience, there was another therefore. You read it this morning. Because he was obedient to death on the cross, the Bible says, therefore, God exalted him, right? You and I are supposed to be like Jesus. So when we humble ourselves, there's always an exaltation that comes next. Always. He doesn't, our worship's not wasted. Our laying our lives down is not wasted. So because he lowered himself, God raised him, right? The name is above all names. Not some names, all names, right? And because of that, Paul says, therefore, because Jesus did all that, because God honored Jesus in that way, because that happened, these things should now be in your life. The 3 points I just gave you. We should be done thinking we have to earn our salvation. We received it. We should just be working out our salvation now, right? We should be done blending in with culture. We should be shining in culture like stars against a black, dark backdrop. We should be done worshiping like this or half-heartedly or holding back portions of our lives. We should be pouring our lives out like a drink offering. Which I don't have time to go into all the drink offering stuff, but if you study it, you'll find it's the only offering that no portion was to be held back from. Every other offering, they were supposed to like give this to the Lord and then give this to the priest, but a drink offering was supposed to be poured out completely. And it was also only commanded to be done in the promised land, which means this is not a command to you if you're not following Jesus. But I'm talking, I think, to the church today who is holding back portions of their lives from God. And he says, you're supposed to be pouring that out. This is what your life is not supposed to look like. It's what it does look like. It's who you are. You are these things because of therefore. So y'all have got to be going like, what kind of stuff does Paul think about while we're singing 5 songs, right? Because I'm talking about all this morning while we're singing songs, and also I'm like, God, could you stop talking to me for a second? Because I love Holy Forever, right? I just want to sing this back to you right now. So if you could stop talking to me, I could sing to you. And I mean, I don't know what goes on in your mind while you're singing worship songs, but I'm thinking about this stuff, right? I'm like, God, that's so good, but what does that possibly have to do? I mean, like, what's that illustration have to do with that? And here's the illustration. I'm going to have to use some of you. Are y'all okay? I'll give you a second just to kind of resettle, like regulate your emotions because some of you are panicking right now. I'm a little panicky. There's going to be sweat involved. It's okay. Therefore, see, I already started. And I'm right in front of the camera too. There we go. Oh, boy. Wendy, do you mind coming up here for a second? Now Wendy's going to sweat. It's great. Now hang with me. Y'all, I call her the B99 because she's the better 99% of our marriage. It's not true. She's the B99.9, right? Maybe the B100. I don't know. But I feel like I bring a little to the table, but she brings a lot. And I'm so madly in love with her. And so here's the illustration. When we met, we got married, you know, like this was our life, right? Like, are y'all okay? Okay, this was our life. Hey, baby. Never let go, baby. I know I'm sweating. Hang with me. This woman, she loves me so much that if y'all come pray for me, like we've been in services where people pray for me, and she knows me. She's like, ooh, that's like, 5 people laying their hands on Paul right now. He's going to start sweating. You know what she does? She stands behind me and breathes and blows on my neck. Some of y'all are like, woman? I think you need to be taking notes right now. Right? She's so, it's amazing, right? Now, here's what happens, right, in life. Can I get some people just to come and hang out up here with us? Do you mind? Come on. Just get in between. No. Get in between us. No, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. I know. Nobody wants to get in between us, but just go ahead. Yeah, that's right. Come on, John. Yes, right. Hey, we got two Johns. That's awesome. I'm right there. Do we have anybody else that wants to get involved? You don't have to do anything. Just stand there. That's all you got to do. I know there's a whole bunch right here. I'm surprised they didn't jump at this. Yeah, that's good. Brian, go ahead. Yeah, he's like, I'm authorized to be here. That's great. But you got to go over here. Come on in here, Sean. Great. So, hey, Wendy. Hey. Anybody else want? I mean, we've got room for more if you want to jump up in here. Just be a part of our family for a second here. Oh, great. I'm so glad. I knew. I just felt like the Lord was like, she's going to come. Just hop anywhere you want in there. Just hop in there. It's like the entire line got more beautiful when you came up here. That's awesome. Is this good? Are we good? You want some more? Oh, they want some more. You don't have to do anything. I'm an introvert too, so if I was just standing there, I'd be sweating. Y'all are doing great. Now, let's talk about this, okay? How much do I still love Wendy? So much. Who said so much? Yeah, that's so rare. I love her so much, right? So much. And how much does she love me? Same. Maybe more. I mean, it's possible. There's more. So I think sometimes we think, well, because we're not close to each other, the love is not as strong, right? But it is strong. But because you don't look nearly as beautiful as Wendy, by the way. It's all good. It is a good thing. Thank you, Jesus, right? So just jot this down, Mark 3:14. Some of what I'm learning in school is going to come out here, okay, because I'm studying attachment theory and how that helps us in our spiritual formation and all the things. And so Mark 3:14 says this, that Jesus called those that he wanted to be with him. He called people that were going to follow him. And then it says he called the disciples to be with him so that he could send them out. In attachment theory, this is called the circle of security. You come, and parents, just pat yourselves on the back right now. This is what you do for your kids, we hope. If you didn't do this for your kids, they're in counseling, it's fine. And counselors are good, and they help people, and we all need counseling. But parents, when your children are born, Birdie turned one yesterday, right? So Michelle and Jacob, awesome. Birdie... Are y'all okay if I just talk while you're up here? I don't want you to be uncomfortable. Okay. Yeah, John's like, dude, I was born for this. Yeah, he's ready. When Birdie was born, Birdie, before she even knew what she was doing, she attached herself to Michelle. Michelle, are you okay if I talk about you too? I don't want to put you on the spot. But and all of our kids do that. And usually it's to both parents, but almost always the mom. Because I can't breastfeed. This is the way it works. So there's just a connection there. There's an attachment there, right? And so as they grow in that attachment, they feel safe and secure and seen and soothed. As they grow in that attachment, they get a lot of confidence. It's amazing how young it happens, even at 1 year old. They're like, I don't need you right now. That's a good thing. We're in the empty nest part of our lives. It's emotionally hard to not have your kids be around you, but it's a good thing that they feel the safety to go out, right? So that's called a secure base. Moms, dads, you need to be a secure base for your kids so that they will feel like, oh, I'm loved. I can go conquer the world, right? And then they do. They go out and conquer the world and things happen to them, bad things often, and they get hurt. And they need not a secure base, they need a safe haven. Does that make sense? So they come back to you, hopefully. Some people don't come back to a safe haven in a person. They come back to a bottle or pills. They come back to work, right? But you got to come back to this place so you can get your tank full again. And then you go, oh, that was great. Thank you. And then you go back out. Does that make sense? I told you, I'm not going to get past therefore. Y'all good? Jesus called the 12. Look at the order of what it says in Mark 3:14, so that they could be with him, established Jesus as their secure base. Oh, I'm loved by Jesus. So that he could send them out. So what happens in that circle of security, what I'm learning is that there are things called ruptures and repairs. Do I have any parents here of teenagers? You've experienced this. Yeah, ruptures and repairs. Actually, life moves faster now. It's probably not even teenagers. Do I have any parents of eight-year-olds? Right. Rupture and repair, that happens in your relationships all the time. You blow up, they blow up, doors get slammed. And like they're telling me at school, you can have a million ruptures, just have a million repairs. So, therefore, I'm asking God, why is it that the church, and you're the only church I've got, right? So it's going to sound like I'm preaching to you, but we're in this together, right? I'm preaching to you and to me, and the word works. I'm like, God, why does the church, like if I just got up and preached, hey, we need to work out our salvation, and we need to stand out, right, in darkness, and we need to pour out our lives, you would, and I don't mean this in a bad way, it's just the way it is right now, you would look at me like I've got three heads. You wouldn't make the connection. We're not making the connection. Can I be that bold? We're not making the connections. And it's because, now, I'm not Paul, now I'm going to be Jesus. I've always wanted to say that, okay? I'm Jesus, right? And Wendy's still Wendy. Awesome. It's because stuff has come between us. Things have come between you and Jesus. And not just, don't think about just sin, right? I mean, all of you in this line, you're awesome. Like, I could put my kids in here. Like, parents, you ever been so tired, you're like, I can't even talk to Jesus. Kids, get in. I mean, jobs, get in here. Things, good things, get in here. But you know what else gets in here? History. History, which is why you think to yourself, I mean, I don't deny that Jesus came and died on the cross, but what's that got to do with me now? Dude, it's 2025. Can we move past that story? No. And we've allowed this long line of history to make us, nobody would say that what Jesus did on the cross is irrelevant, right? But we do say it in the way that we live our lives. When we blend in more than we stand out, we're saying, Jesus saved me from my sins, but he can't really help me now. And when we did this in the bar, we had not as many people. Y'all are so much better than we had there. But we didn't have this long of a line. But the way I ended this illustration was I basically like started pushing people out of the way to get to Wendy. I don't know that that's what God does. What God does is he calls us to, we're learning this in the Sabbath class, he calls us to stop. He says there's a rupture that I need to repair. We start seeing all these things as bad people, like you're between me and Jesus, get out. All he does is he says to Wendy, hey, Wendy, step out to the side here. Whew. Hold on a second. Golly. Can you believe she married me? I cannot believe it. Did you see that? She's like, stop right now. Y'all thought she was itching to scratch her neck, but it's a signal, right? I know that signal. She's like, stop talking about me. He just calls us to, he calls us to pause. Be still. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. And then guess what Jesus does? How does he do this? He just comes close. The Bible says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. And we think we have to push through all these people to draw near to God, and he says, I just need you to take a step out. Just take a step out. Not even towards me, just take a step out. And I'll be there. And he is. And then guess what he does? He goes, you're awesome. What are we going to do about that? How are we going to handle all that? It changes everything when Jesus comes close. Because I've been where Wendy is, and Jesus shows up in my mess. And I'm like, I don't know. Do we have to do anything about it at all, God? I'm pretty happy right here with you. But we're so anxious and so worried about things that matter, but not as much as Jesus. All right, y'all did great. Would you give them a big hand? Let them sit down. Y'all have never been applauded more for nothing than in that moment, right? I don't think we need to do any more today. I mean, I don't think I need to say any more. I have stuff I could say. But all the things that Paul talks about in verses 12 through 18, they all hinge on the word therefore. It all hinges on us remembering that what Jesus did on the cross matters today. It impacts us today. Like how I'm going to live my... Y'all get tired of me being so practical? I know you do because it's convicting, isn't it? Jesus' death on the cross will impact how you treat the person who serves you at lunch. And if it doesn't, then you haven't repaired the rupture. Jesus is still way over there doing his Jesus thing. And he wants to be over here with you doing your thing so that you can shine like stars, so you can work out your salvation. I think let me just end with this verse. He said in verse 12, as you've always obeyed, not just in my presence, but now even much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Listen to this verse. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Can I just give you the Paul translation? God gives us the want to and the grit to do his good will. And so sometimes, have you ever said to God, I know I'm supposed to read the Bible more. I just don't want to. He's like, cool. Because I'll work in you the desire to read my word. And then I'll even give you the power to read my word. Like, really, God? Even Leviticus? He's like, even Leviticus, right? I know I should talk to my neighbor about Jesus. I don't want to. Hey, step out. Let me come close to you. Let's hang out together, and I will work in you the desire to go talk to your neighbor about Jesus. And then when you take that step and you want to pee your pants, I'll be with you. This is too real. I know y'all don't know what to do with me, do you? I'll be with you. As you cross the street to go to your neighbor's house, I'll be with you. And I think all I want to do this morning is I want to give you the chance to repair the rupture. Because there's a rupture. Here's how I know. Take a deep breath. We're all good. I know there's rupture because leadership at the church can't get past the word repent. Because we keep saying it, and it's like, why do we keep saying it? It's because the God who loves you, he's like, repentance is just Wendy stepping out, right? And saying, I don't even know if I have the strength to come closer to you, but I'm at least going to like put myself in a position to see you. And that's repentance. I want to make myself available to you, Jesus. And he comes close. His kindness leads us to repentance. And he like does the thing he needs to do. And then we go out, and guess what we start doing? We just start living what Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. We start working out our salvation. We start shining out, standing out, and we start, whatever that third one was, we start doing that too, right? I'm the pastor. I should know my own sermon, but I'm sorry. We pour out. Thank you so much. We just do it because that's who we are. Matthew 5 says this, you are light. Everybody get really quiet, and we're going to pray. Listen. Do you hear that? I don't either. I hear nothing. Do you know why? Because the lights in this room are not straining to shine. They just shine. It's what lights do when the power is on. You don't have to try to shine. We just do, y'all. When the power's on, we shine. Now, some of us could use a little Windex, right? Some of us, me, right? I'm like, hey, Jesus, how about whoosh, 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 a little wipe here, a little smudge here? But that's not trying to shine more. That's just like, God, clean me up so that the most light can get out. You are a light, a city on a hill. So shine, right? And so when we don't repair that rupture between us and the Lord, when we let the distance get farther and farther and farther, it feels like we don't shine as much. It's just we get all gunked up. And he wants to come close. Jesus comes close with Windex. And he whoosh, whoosh, wipes it. And then, whoosh. What does it say about Moses? I bet you talked about this yesterday, unveiled. When he came down from the mountain, he had to wear a veil. That's weird. He had to wear a veil. We would have put a hoodie on and like pulled it really tight. He had to cover up his face because they were like, oh, we can't look at you. Because he was so close to the glory of God. It was a thin place, and he shone with the glory of God. And when's the last time you or I had people tell us, I don't know what it is about you, but when I'm around you, it's like there's just light everywhere. We need to repair, don't we? We need to ask God to repair this rupture. Bring me back to that safe haven in Jesus. So you can fill my tank up again and you can send me out. Every week we have the prayer team come to the front. We don't do that because we want to make you come to the front. You can talk to God where you are. You know, we do that so that you can see them, because sometimes it's good to have somebody put a hand on your shoulder and just pray. But what I want to do is I want to end this morning just giving you an opportunity. Could we sing I Love You, Lord? I'm probably just the old guy who's like, I hadn't sung that song in a long time and I loved it. We just want to linger in the Lord's presence, right? And let you respond how you need to respond. Would you close your eyes? Would you right now just kind of take an inventory of your life? Prayer team, do you mind coming and making yourselves available? And if you want somebody to pray with you, they would be happy to do that. I've just been really stirred this morning about the presence of God. And so I want to give freedom for you to respond to his presence the way that you feel like you need to. And it might just be that you come to the front, pray with the prayer team. Might be that you come to the altar. You might pray right there in your seat. I don't know. But as we sing this, we're going to close with this song, I Love You, Lord. And even before we started singing this song this morning, I had already thought of that verse in Revelation that talks about you've forgotten your first love, right? And again, God doesn't say that like the finger wagging. You forgot your first love. What's wrong with you? You know, he's like, I see him waving at me like, hey, 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 you forgot your first love, right? It's him stepping out going, hey, Wendy, I'm over here. You forgot I'm your first love. And the minute she steps out, he's just like, there he is. Do you see it all as an invitation? Do you see this? Do you feel this? Him drawing you back to himself? He's not beating us up, y'all. He's like, just come. Just come. I love you, Lord. Let my life be a sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord. Can we just spend the next few moments just allowing the Holy Spirit to repair the rupture in us? However you choose to do that. And I'll come back and I'll close this out. Yeah, I just want you, again, just to close your eyes. I want you to think about this. Everything that we do for the Lord is a response. Everything. That's why there are so many therefores in the Bible. Everything we do for the Lord is a response. He does something, therefore we do something. And the reason why it's important from time to time, and by time to time I might mean like every minute of every day, to remember what he did for us is because that's the fuel for what he calls us to go do. The fuel for what we do cannot be earning what he already did. It has to be a response. God, you did that for me. Of course I'll do that for you. And so as your eyes are closed, I want you just for a moment. I'm not having you do this so you'll come run to the altar. I'm doing this so that you'll run out of this church and go be the church. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think about where you would be if it was not for Jesus. Where would you be? We can think of a billion things that could be going on in our lives. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to narrow it down to one image. Where would you be if Jesus had not done what we read about in Philippians chapter 2? I will tell you this, I know for me, if I were still alive, I would be somewhere extremely depressed. I know that because I've asked him. And his act of mercy on the cross has saved me. Not from feeling depressed from time to time, but from the final destination of giving into depression. I don't know what your answer would be, where you would be if it was not for Jesus. But whatever your answer is, can I just tell you this so you'll start to get like this fuel of heaven? You're not in that place today. His life and death and resurrection matters. It did something to you, in you, and now it needs to do something through you. It matters. History does not make us so educated that we don't need what he did on the cross. I need him in 2025 more than I needed him in 1966. Yes, I was born then. That's a long time ago, and I'm old. And I've needed him every day since then. And I will need him every day till I die. You will never outgrow the gospel. God, forgive us for thinking that we can outgrow and outlearn the gospel. We need what he did. And when we stop and remember what he did, our hearts are flooded with gratitude. God, it's a natural response, therefore, to just go and work out our salvation and stand out in darkness and pour out our lives before you. Yes, church, wrestle with the cost of following Jesus, but at some point you will have to decide that he's worth it. You will have to decide that he's worth it. And when you do, get up from that place and follow him. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.